declare this ordinary meeting of the members of Central Tablelands Water open. Thanks everyone for your attendance. I'd like to acknowledge the Wiradjuri people, whose traditional lands we are working on today, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. I'd also like to note that this meeting is being recorded, and anything you say will be recorded. The recording is not the official record of proceedings. The official record will be the minutes of the meeting, which will emerge in due course. Turning now to the agenda. There's no apologies. All councillors are here. Confirmation of the previous minutes. They've been circulated. Anyone have any move by Councillor Newstead? Seconded?
Sorry.
Councillor
West. Mary's a big
All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Any matters arising anyone wants to raise? If not, we will move on. Disclosures of interests. I gave a disclosure of interest to Gavin yesterday, which I'll mention now. In item
three, the
developer service plan review and the adoption of our new DSP. One of the items on that recommendation is that we commence the new rate from the 1st of July 2020. And I disclose some interest because my daughter has a property in Blaney, which has been subdivided into two blocks, and that will potentially benefit any reduction in the DSP will potentially benefit her. Therefore, there's a pecuniary interest on my part, so I'll, when we get to that item, I will vacate the chair. I'll ask the deputy to take over and I will leave the room while you consider that one. Any other declarations of interest? No public forum? I think we've got no public forum. Chairperson's minute? No, there's no chairperson's minute. Councillor representation? I've had a few representations on behalf of CTW, but I don't have them with me at the moment, but I'll send those details to B.
Workshop. We had the workshop at Granny.
Ah, yes, of course. We had the strategic futures workshop in Blaney, which councillors Bembrick, Newstead, myself, and Walker attended.
I was there for a bit.
And Durko was there too. That's right. Yeah. So that's a disclosure by all of those councillors. And just off the top of my head, I do remember the JO meeting a couple of weeks ago, which I attended. But I'll complete the list and send them on to B so they can be recorded in the minutes. Notices of motion?
No notices of motion.
No. Then we move on to reports of staff. First one, strategic planning workshop, item 1, page 3. Someone would like to move that recommendation. Moved by Councillor Walker, seconded Councillor Bembrick. Thank you. This is a report on our workshop. Anyone have any questions of Gavin in relation to that? I think the draft outcomes of the workshop have been circulated to councillors.
Yeah, and I think they're due back by the end of June, end of this month, I think. So back to Annette Davison. But I'd like to thank everyone for who are able to participate in that workshop. I think it was very well received. And it was just fantastic also, not only to have our existing councillors attend, but also the likes of DPI Water, the Chief Operating Officer, and the Director of the Town Water Risk Reduction Program, and also to be facilitated by Annette Davison and also Annalisa Contos. I think that was great for our organisation to have those expertise, as I said, in the media release in our own backyard. So.
Any more questions? Put that in those in favour. Thank you. Carried. Item 2, page 4, the proposed sub-regional water strategy. I'd like to move that. Yep, Councillor Newstead seconded.
Yeah.
Councillor Benbrick. Thank you very much. I just wonder, Gavin, on item 2, given the discussion we had about the, it's not really a BCO Alliance project, it's partnering with Cabon and Orange.
Yep.
To submit an EOI, the wording there should be changed slightly so that it would say endorse Central Tableland Water's involvement in partnering with Cabon and Orange to submit an expression of interest.
Yep.
Etc.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, we've had the benefit, just for the record, we've had the benefit of a workshop with Chris Devitt, one of the consultants who worked on this project up till now. Councils are fairly well briefed now on what this project is about. So would someone like to move that recommendation?
Can you read that again?
No, it was recommended. It was moved.
Can you just go through that again?
Yeah, the recommendation, paragraph 2, is now endorse Central Tablelands Water's involvement in partnering with Gabon and Orange to submit an expression of interest, etc.
You really need to put anything in there about funding requirements, since we don't really know any cost involved at the moment. I know we're only agreeing to endorse our involvement. I'm just saying whether we should be putting something in it. In the motion about...
Three interested chairman, Councillor Best. I had that in my original draft about committing funding, but because we don't know at this stage, as the chairman said in the workshop, it could be 500. At the moment, we're estimating 400. But we thought once we've got some more information, then at the next council meeting, then we can put up a report through our QBRS system process as well to flag the funding requirements or commitment for CTW.
I'm just looking at the wording, just saying, you know, we're endorsing that we're involved in it, and for them to submit the expression of interest, we still don't know the funding costs to the council. That was all. I'm just saying that they should be.
Councillor Best, are you suggesting we should have a third paragraph which would say something like to bring back to a subsequent meeting of council approval for funding the cost of CDW?
Just something simple like that. That's all. Open-endedly sort of saying we agree with expression of interest without actually saying, you know, how much financial burden is going to be on the CTW.
So number 3 would be council. Well, 1 is no, 2 is endorsed, 3 approve the cost of CEW's participation to a subsequent meeting of council.
After listening to Chris today, what has Orange got a problem with it or what?
No, they're initially Councillor Walker, they weren't involved in the strategic review that we did with Cabon Council.
Yes.
They didn't want to be involved. Since then, they've reconsidered, and now they want to be part of the review process and also the regional town water strategy. So they are supportive of this process for developing this strategy.
So just to formalise the recommendation, does the mover and seconder agree to the addition of paragraph 3, which would say approve the cost of CW's participation at a subsequent meeting of council?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take that recommendation as amended.
Is there any benefit to us financially CTW with our integrated water catchment management plan, piggybacking on the back of this, since a lot of this information is going to go into that plan. Could we, you know, what's the cost of that plan going to be? So you said it's going to be
for our IWCM.
Yeah, IWCM.
It's unknown.
Yeah,
and I haven't really delved enough into it. Oh, sorry, through the chair, of course. I haven't delved in enough. I have looked at the overview and strategised how I would undertake the process, and it's looking at those parallels to what information will be sought through this the town water planning funding to undertake this study. There's a lot of parallels there for us.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, in the 21-22 budget, there's $200,000 set aside for that IWCM funded, 50% by council and 50% by Safe and Secure funding.
Yeah.
So we do have $200,000 in next year's budget for that project based on the 50-50 funding.
So yeah, just, you know, if we're getting 75-25 in this side, we're getting 50-50 in that side, whether there's any opportunity to piggyback one off the other and reduce our costs through, and you maybe, you know, actually engage the same company in space.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman, Councillor Best, and that's what Noel touched on in the workshop, that we be able to do a lot of this work, and the strategy will feed into the IWCM, and we've already got an IWCM in place, so we'll be doing a review and update of our current one based on the new guidelines, whatever they may be, seeing there's a review going on for the IWCM. But we should be able to get a lot of that work undertaken under this regional water strategy, which we can then use into the development or the review and the development of the new IWCM. And just to go on, Peter was saying about the costing, we've estimated $200,000, that's for CTW, because we are doing a review and update of our current IWCM, and that was compared to the likes of the bigger local water utilities. Riverina Water, theirs was around $300,000 to $400,000. Rouse, which is fairly is significant, theirs was close to $600,000 to $700,000, I think, for their IWCM, but theirs is a lot more. There's a lot more to their IWCMs than what ours would be, but at this stage we've estimated that $200,000 would be based on a 50% funding from the Safe and Secure program. But so we should be able to capitalise on this strategy work, town water strategy work, to feed a lot of that information into our IWCM.
Any questions, Gavin or Noel, in relation to this any further? I think we've got a pretty good idea of what's involved in this project, and I think through our workshop we've been able to express to Chris Devitt, who'll be working up the brief for the EOI process, some of the issues and the concerns that we have, and I think he's given a commitment, which I think we should note now, that councils will get an opportunity of seeing the scope of work for this consultant before it goes out to the market, which I think is important. I don't think that needs to be included in the recommendation, but I think that's an important for councils to continue to understand what's involved in this. There's no more discussion or questions.
Well, I think just make sure we've got the equal stake at the table. I think that's the most important thing from my point of view.
Yeah. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 3, the development servicing plan. I've declared an interest in this one, particularly paragraph 4. So I'll vacate the chair, hand over to Councillor Walker as deputy. I'll leave the room and can get you when you're finished.
Item 3 is the Development Servicing Plan Review Update. Recommendation that Council adopt a 2021 Development Servicing Plan in the Lake Raman supply area. Council adopt the developer charge as calculated in DSP for all subdivision developments within Lake Raman supply area of 6,211. the capital contribution charge for all vacant inbuilt, unbuilt land within the existing village of Guarniola remain in accordance with the adopted annual fees and charges, and due to the reduction in developer charge as a result of applying the latest development charges guidelines for water supply, sewerage and stormwater, and the extended time taken to review and update the DSP, council apply the new DSP charge retrospectively for those development charges made after 1st July 2020. Has someone moved that?
I'll
move that. Moved on. Houston? Second up?
Second.
Anthony? Anthony Durkin. Any comments on that recommendation?
Just one question. There was no submissions whatsoever received.
No, yeah, no submissions received on the DSP. So, and as I circulated to councillors yesterday, just the financial implications for item four, we estimated it'd be a foregone revenue of $47,393.
That's spread out of how many?
It's around 11 connections. Applications. So. And so, as we've discussed previously, the original draft that we reviewed the calculation with that was significantly lower than the $6,211 too. And then once we questioned that calculation or reviewed that calculation, we're advised that we could factor in more of our assets into that calculation, so the augmentation of Lake Rollins, the pipeline project with Orange, which are obviously on our books to continually to maintain and to fund, and so we're able to factor those asset values into our calculation, which increased the brought our developer charge to what it was originally going to be.
Any other comments for item three?
No.
Happy production.
All those in favour?
Aye.
I thought we would have
had
some few developers. I thought
we would
have
put it.
No,
you said.
It came
down, so
it's probably not going to. No.
Mr. Chairman, item one, so as put.
Thank you. I'll resume the chair. I could move on to item four, the demand management report. Someone like to move that one?
I'll move.
Councillor Durkin, seconded.
I'll see.
Councillor Best. Any questions for Gavin on the report or the draft documents which have been amended to take account of our decision at the last meeting?
Just through you, Mr. Chairman, this is just following on from our workshop that we had with our demand and drought management plans, our draft plans, and then we had a report went to council, as I've got in my report there, with those recommendations to be incorporated into the draft documents, which now will proceed on public display for a period of 28 days, with a view of going up for adoption at our August meeting for our next council meeting.
Thank you. Any questions? Those in favour?
One slight comment on number five, whether we're tying ourselves, I'm quite happy to restrict the use of the water dam pipes on level five. I'm just whether we're tying ourselves into a costly thing for the council. That was
Through you, Mr. Chairman, we can investigate that. There are methods of doing that, and certainly if we approaching that level five, we can certainly do investigations to get a system in place. And it shouldn't be something that's very expensive.
Yeah, okay. That's, thank you.
Put that again, those in favour?
Yes, sorry.
Carried. Thank you. Item five, Lake Rollins augmentation. Moved by Councillor Walker, seconded Councillor Best. Thank you. So, Gav, do you want to just let us know how that's going at the moment?
Yes. So, through you, Mr. Chairman. As we've been reporting at each council meeting, now we are proceeding with the continue with the development of the scope of works for the detailed concept design, as well as the review of environmental factors. And also, we've been talking with the business case consultant to the planning on what needs to be done to ensure that we capture all information required to tie it up with that final business case moving forward. Our Director of Operations and Technical Services has been talking to the original dam designer, working through those scope of works, the development of the scope of works, and also with premise consulting regarding a review of environmental factors. We've also commenced some local stakeholder engagement with the landowners. We had a meeting, the director and I, with the landholders on Cooming Creek, so downstream of Lake Rowlands, around a fortnight ago. And then we're planning other consultation with the landholders around Lake Rowlands as well in the next week or so. So we're in the process of developing an information sheet through the business case consultant. So we'll have it'll be around a 2-page document to present to those stakeholders, as well as planning the community engagement sessions, which we're planning to have one in Blaney, one in Canoundra, and one in Grenfell at this stage. Mm-hmm. We're trying to tie that also in with the Water New South Wales engagement strategy with the pipeline project as well. Although at the last meetings we had with them, they're ahead of in the development of their business case. However, we're trying to tie that in as much as possible. Noel and I will be attending on Friday a workshop in Sydney with DPIA Water to talk about both projects, and we should have some more information available after that meeting. So. Noel, did you want to add anything further?
You've covered it pretty well.
Cool. How many people attending the workshop about the Cooming Creek? Many stakeholder landholders?
Oh, it was just the two landholders. Just on two. Yeah, okay. Two landholders on and we have swing.
And what was that in aid of? What was this discussion about?
It was about our project, but it was initiated through Water New South Wales have been doing their community engagement as well. And a few questions came up from the Cooming Creek stakeholders to Water New South Wales, and they referred those queries to us, and we followed up with a meeting with those landholders.
Just quickly, without going into too much depth, what kind of queries did the stakeholders
bring? So they're looking at, for example, what would be the environmental releases that CTW would have to do. What are the riparian rights of those owners downstream? No, what was the other?
So basically, just want to know how much water they're going to be getting.
Well, that's it. Yeah, not only what's coming down Cooming Creek, but
through the chair, it was more about do we have in our REF the ability to put values in there. So at the moment, Lake Rowlands Dam hasn't been operating. What our works advice doesn't include environmental flows. It had been a missight, an oversight. So they were just making sure that we would be able to have those in and any modelling that we do to support any water, especially with the two projects being transferred across to Carport Dam. That we would have those environmental flows. So the value of those environmental flows is still up in the air, but they would, you know, just wanted to be satisfied that they were included in on our earth.
So, okay. The business case consultant, who is that?
Balmoral Group.
The same. Grandmas. Yeah. Did we have to, the contract we had with them, did that extend to this stage too?
Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay.
So they were they did the strategic business case, the high level one originally, and they've been contracted for the
And the scope of works for the design, are we doing that internally or is that
outsourced?
We're doing that internally in consultation with, in discussions with the original dam designers and builders.
That's GHD?
Yes.
Okay. And just for council's benefit, what sort of time frame do you think it's going to be before we get the scope of works out there and we start getting the REF done and the all the other bits and pieces you need to do, Aboriginal heritage and native species and everything else that's required?
Yeah. So at this stage, we're looking at having all that completed by February. Oh no, did you?
Yeah, through the chair, it'll be delayed. The delivery of the detailed concept design. We're looking at getting all information to the Balmoral Group in around April, May for them to have that final business case.
April, May next year.
Next year, yes, to have that final business case presented to to be able to be presented to DPIE by the end of the financial year.
April, May 22. Yeah, okay. And how long do you think it's going to take before we get the scope of works package out to the market?
We're still negotiating with the original designer to try and keep it within budget and then assess whether that will be suitable for us. If there are any shortfalls in that, we've taken on board comments from the council in our last committee meeting that we can present something back to the council to include in our budget for assisting with additional works that may be required. So we're still working through that to get that value before we can put a recommendation to council.
So might that be the next council meeting?
Yes, but definitely it has to be completed by next council meeting for us to meet our targets.
Okay, so then we'll know whether the $1 million is sufficient to finish the job. Okay, and then obviously what's really important is to get a more sort of finalised figure for the cost of doing this. And I know that has to be funded at some stage. It's going to go ahead, and we're assuming 50%, so we could go back and have a look at our long-term financial plan when we know the cost. But that stage will not be reached, I assume, until later in this year or early next year.
Correct. Until we go to market, and that will be included. That's also one of the steps in. So we complete our detailed concept design. We then put that out to market for that detailed concept design. And then we will have a true value that we can supply to the Balmoral Group to include it on their final business case, and that then will be presented as our final business case, and council will have a much better idea of what the true cost rather than the high level cost that we've been working from.
Yeah. Okay.
Paul, question for you. With our works for the dam safety. Dam safety works, how long have we got? We've got a bit of a moratorium on doing them at the moment, so how long have we got before we have to really...
In the past, we have just been ensuring that our dam safety committee at the time were informed, and there was no objection raised to us extending it through. We now have the Dam Safety New South Wales that has taken over from the Dam Safety Committee. We have to present to the Dam Safety Committee a report, and in that report we will include what works of our progress of works and our scheduling works to be undertaken. Again, it'll be reflective on the outcomes of the GHDs in their concept design to include those dam safety aspects that have been raised by GHD to be included in our design.
Yeah, as well.
But for comfort for the council, we have trained our water treatment plant operators in doing inspections of dams. We continue to do our inspections 3 times a week. We haven't seen any failures or any worsening of the factors that have been presented forward to us. And we continue to do deflection surveys to support the visual aspects of our dam safety inspections. So we're doing as much as we can behind the scenes to ensure that there has been no change. And if there is any change, that will trigger then us going to our dam safety engineers, which at the moment is the old
Public Works Advisory.
Public Works Advisory, yes. So we will pass that on to our Public Works Advisory.
So there's no pressure from the new Dam Safety New South Wales to then to set a time frame now, is there, with them?
Not at the moment. So they've been informed of where we are and what we're doing. But that was as a flow on from the changeover from Dam Safety Committee to Dam Safety New South Wales. So they're aware of our safety issues.
Yes, but I'm just getting the worst case scenario with the dam is we can't receive the funding, and then is there going to be pressure on us then to do this remediation works, which we had to do. That was all, I suppose. Right. It's one thing to know for long term budgeting, as we understand. So
and the part of them, the highest element for risk with raising the dam or the earth embankment was to raise that up an extra 3 metres. To alleviate the concerns of a 1 in 100,000 event occurring. So raising of the dam wall in the earth embankment coincides with us raising of our dam to 2.2 metres. So we're still working together on the design of those.
Yeah.
So it's still all plays in together. Mm-hmm. But for comfort, we continue to do 3 days a week in our visual assessments of our dam safety. To cover off on the dam safety.
Thank you.
Any more questions? I'll put that, those in favour. Thank you. Move on to the next item, number 6, page 12 of the business paper. The electricity procurement arrangements. Someone like to move that? Councillor Newstead, Councillor Walker, thank you. This is a very lengthy report and very technical report.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, you've probably seen this through your general purpose councils as well. That's obviously a general JO report, the electricity procurement. So. The big thing, they're starting early, obviously, the current contracts don't finish until, December 2022, however, they're getting the ball rolling sooner rather than later. But one of the main things to look at, and I've had a discussion with Noel, we've got there, and I think Caban went along the same line, if we're providing in principle. We support a minimum of 50% of council's electricity load to renewable energy. That'll be a challenge for us. Mm-hmm. However, we're moving forward with our review and what we can do with potential renewable projects moving forward. But rather than saying we fully support it, we're saying we will aim for that, but it may not come to... Yeah. In practical terms, we may not be able to achieve that by the required time frame.
Okay, I was going to ask you, in the recommendation number 2, note the alignment between the advice in this report and Council's renewable energy plan, energy targets. Do we have a renewable energy plan?
We did a review. We did the Renewable Action Plan back in 2017-18, I think it was. But now we're also proceeding with projects through DPIE that are funded through DPIE as well, and that's part of those projects are in the existing renewable Action Plan, We didn't have a target in that renewable action plan. It was just more on what projects we could investigate to improve our reliance or reduce our costs and also help the environment through other renewable projects. But Noel, did you want to add any further to that? Because you've been involved in the projects or review of potential projects?
Yeah, so through the chair, we're trying to pick off as much low-hanging fruit as we can to get good bang for our buck and look at those. It's a very simple system for CTW. As you know, we've got a gravity-fed system, so the costs are more in a pumping cost and our water treatment plant costs. They're our higher energy users, except when we come down through our summer demands, and then we have to include our bores and our Gurugong and McDonald Lane pump stations. They're the higher ones. So we put together some packages, but to operate mostly under a solar system, solar battery plan, that could give us a fairly good savings, but we have to change our methodology of operations of our water treatment plant. So we do it all during the day now, whereas we're using a lot of off-peak time and in the field of running with our staff there. So we put together three different projects through our charge works who have been working with us through the JL. And then we'll have to assess those, that's all, to see how much productivity we get and reducing those emissions and the reliability of electricity off the grid.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, there's probably one aspect of this from a long-term financial planning point of view is that with power purchase agreements, they generally have terms of 7 to 10 years, whereas grid-based contracts are generally 12 months to 36 months. So obviously that's something to be resolved as part of this procurement process as to how you get that mix right, particularly in a volatile electricity market.
Yeah.
That's not going to be something that's going to be easily navigated. So that's why obviously you get an expert to look at the complexities of it.
Yeah, 50%, it's a good social target to have, but it comes with a cost of locking in a price for a longer period. My main point of raising about our plan is whether, given that we're now supporting a 50% target, whether that needs to go into the plan.
Yeah, it can be reviewed and updated.
I just leave that thought with you.
Yeah. That's cool. That we purchase 50% of a renewable energy, so we don't have to provide it ourselves. We can purchase it off a renewable energy provider, basically, but obviously at a higher cost than what the one. Yeah. Each one of our sites is individual, isn't it? Like so when they're talking about small usage of tariffs and all sorts of stuff, each one of ours are all, every single site. How many do we have?
We have about 7 or 8 major sites, and then I think we have about 40 other smaller sites.
Any more questions?
Sorry, as far as in the recommendation, it's in principle support for the 50%, but the important part is where the pricing is lower than the existing contract. We are looking at savings, we're not looking at our methodology is comparing apples to apples and seeing what we can reduce the cost, certainly not just go to a 50% reduction and increase our cost.
Previously, we were under the JR contract previously, weren't we?
And Wedden and Cabana will be the same, Blaney.
More questions? I'll put that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to item 7 on page 18, report on the joint organisation board meeting. Someone like to move that?
I'll move.
So Durkin, Councillor Newstead. Thanks very much. Not needing to spend too long on this. Anyone got any questions of Gavin or me on this?
No. Thank you, Joe.
standard report that's prepared by the executive at the JO for all councils. No more questions, or no questions at all on that. I'll put that. That's in favour. Carried. Then item 8, the local remuneration tribunal item. The recommendation is we continue to pay the top level for county councils. Someone to move that one? Councillor Newstead, Councillor Durkin, thank you very much. Any questions on this?
No. I was going to change your recommendation.
Chairman gets too much, but anyway.
Yeah, the chairman doesn't deserve that, but still can't do anything about it.
I should point out, Mr. Chairman, that the remuneration tribunal the previous year put in a freeze for councillors and chairpersons and mayors. So it's 2% over 2 years. So
yeah, it is. It's a modest increase, but what I thought last year was a bit rich was that the remuneration tribunal said we should freeze council remuneration because at that stage the government had a policy of freezing public sector wages. So the remuneration tribunal, assuming that was going to happen, froze council remuneration, and then the government changed their mind and in fact allowed an increase in public sector remuneration. And the remuneration tribunal this year didn't even take that into consideration in fixing this year's rates. But one thing which does apply, I think, from 1st of July is that councillors are entitled to superannuation on the councillors' fees.
1st of July for you, Mr. Chairman, 1st of July
2022? 22, actually,
That's a decision for council. Council needs to resolve to take that, but certainly a report will be coming to council on that prior to them.
Premature at the moment,
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I did incorporate it in the long-term financial plan on the basis that superannuation, that option will be taken up by council.
Yeah. I think there's probably a fair chance of that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Next item, the resolutions update report on page 34. Someone like to move that we note that report? Councillor Walker, second Councillor Benbrick. Thank you. Any questions of Gavin on the report? No. I was just going to suggest that rather than the keeping a track of the history of what's happened, looking at the first item, for example, it goes back to February 20, where we sort of track through what's happened. We really probably only need to know what's happening, not what has happened.
The last one.
So that would just be a suggestion for future things. Apart from that first item, most of them are now completed and they can be deleted.
Could you have a question of the action complete? How long does that stay on the thing? Is it there for?
No, it comes off for the next meeting, Councillor Walker, through you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it just highlights that action will no longer be on there for this.
Yeah. There's a couple of other. I just went back and had a look at the minutes of the last year or so's meetings. And it'd be worthwhile just getting an update. December last year, we had an extraordinary meeting authorising the General Manager to sign the contract with LEED for the 12 Meg Reservoir at Carcorp.
Okay.
Is that?
No, we usually update that through the director's reports on how that's going, but no, that hasn't been. And Noel, the delay has been due, as I understand, with the foundation work.
Correct. So we haven't awarded the contract. We have provided them with the intent of awarding the contract to enable them to progress forward. They are undertaking or arranging for undertaking additional geotech surveys They're looking at, for instance, they're looking at going down with a pile of piling of 40 metres rather, that we provided them 20 metres. But they're looking at more of a core centre to develop their foundation work. So while we are...
So are they paying for the costume?
We are engaging the geotech people and ourselves through CTW to enable them to keep their costs and their scope of works to what the original tender documents had.
Yep.
So we are still keeping in line. We there could be a rise, of course, in the price that they have tendered, and that's due to the increase of steel and concrete and things like that, so materials. So we will assess that and come back once they have provided us with an update of what the cost for foundation work will be. So they had included a certain cost in there, but they will provide us an update that, and then we will bring that to council with recommendations.
So they'll effectively reprice their contract.
And it'll be more of the differences between of what they are. But so we certainly did get some savings, of course. So on one hand, from the workworks, I feel comfortable in ensuring that our project can still be delivered within that budget cost, but we need to go through this process.
Yeah, but I just thought that was something out of a previous resolution probably needs to be covered.
We can put it in there.
Reports, so we can keep track of our previous resolutions until we take them off.
Yep.
Do that. And the May 20, the Corrigible Water Supply Feasibility Study?
Yes. The update with that is we've received the draft report from Premise, the consultant who was engaged to undertake that study, and we're just in the process of reviewing that report now. Initial discussions with Premise is that we may need to then go back out to more targeted stakeholder engagement with that, rather than being open to the community. But yeah, we've got that report, that draft report now, that Noel and I are reviewing at the moment. So
that's a draft report. The same meeting we talked about accessing the dead storage, and you know the funding we got for that and the bore refurbishments. Is that some?
Still on the table. They are still active projects that we want to continue with. It's the priority of work at the moment that has put them on the back burner. So, but they're still there, and we still want to pursue them.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I know. We're often critical of government departments because when things rain and there's not much pressure on, we say, no, you shouldn't stop your work you're doing on. drought security projects. I've got to make sure we practice what we preach, and we keep working on those things, hoping we never have to dust them off, but we need to finish them.
The priority has always been, the working group and the steering group committees for our pipeline projects, and now raising the dam wall really has sucked up an awful lot of effort and time and offloading to our existing consultants that we're using. We're trying to make the best bang for buck, but they're trying to build things and get earthwork packages and project management done too.
Yeah. So
it's a reason, not an excuse, of course, but there are still words there to be done.
I'll leave that with you. Anyway, so that's all I had. I just had a quick look through previous minutes about those items. Any more questions on the list? Those in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. Item 10, financial matters. Someone like to move that one to the best? Thank you. Councillor Newstead, thank you. Thank you for the report, Peter. It's a bit of a concern, isn't it, that we don't want anyone to take our money?
It is for you, Mr. Chairman. It's a very difficult environment for term deposits, and this would be something that would be reported for you, for your constituents or general purpose councils. They would be finding the same issue. It's very difficult to place money, and certainly place money at a competitive rate if you can get 0.5% these days. For anything from 6 months to 12 months, you're doing pretty well. So it's basically been caused by this term funding facility, and I apologise, I've got TTFs there, I've got my acronyms mixed up instead of TFF on paragraph 3. But they got this term funding facility currently, and I think it finishes at the end of this month, where the Reserve Bank is actually lending money to the major banks at the cash rate. So they've been able to then borrow that money for up to 3 years at the cash rate. So that's allowed this really strong burst of liquidity to occur, and we're actually seeing that in a number of markets, the property market and also the share market as well is pretty strong. There's so much money around that it's actually causing, from this funding facility, it's actually causing some difficulty. You know, the banks don't need to go out and raise money. Mm-hmm. They haven't got the same demand. They don't have to you know, make deposits attractive and so on to the same extent. And generally, if an institution has a special, it generally comes up and it's generally filled. If they want $20 million, it can be filled in 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, do you want to participate in this? We're giving you an extra 10 basis points for this period. Do you want to participate? If you do, you've really got to move quick.
Yeah.
You've got to have the funds.
And if we don't have a deposit maturing, we're not going to like it. Yeah.
That's right. So it's pretty sort of difficult at the moment, and it's something I think we're going to have to put up with for some time. Although if they do, they're a bit reluctant to get rid of this term funding facility at the moment, the RBA, so it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do.
Mm, is there a silver lining that when interest rates are high, debtors hang on to their money and pay you right at the end of your term, when they virtually get no advantage in hanging on to your money? Maybe people are paying us a bit earlier?
For yes, Mr. Chairman, probably that's probably a factor for the bigger for the bigger accounts. It may be a factor. There could be a sort of a silver lining there, because there's no real opportunity cost for holding cash now. It's very low. Mm.
So, maybe it's not all good. But we'll never know. Exactly. Any questions? Thanks, Peter. Those in favour? Sherry. Item 11. Adopting, the reason we have our meeting deferred till today, so we could adopt these two plans. I'd like to move that one. Councillor Durkin, seconded. Councillor Benbrick, thank you very much. Any questions? We've got
no submissions.
No. So that's either people are very happy with the increase in their water rates, or they didn't read it.
Yes.
It's probably the latter.
Through Mr. Chairman, they probably recognise that CTW provides a very high quality and reliable water supply. So.
Yep. In which case, they should have written in supporting the plan.
Yeah. That's right.
What's your name, Kevin? No.
All right. I'll put that. Thank you. Item 12, which is a follow-on. We actually have to pass a formal resolution making the fees and charges. So I'd like to move that one. Councillor Walker, thank you. Councillor Newstead, thank you very much. This one, those in favour.
I did have one question. We did discuss about our ability to sell unprocessed water, unpotable water. Is there a requirement for us to have a rate for that?
There's a rate in there.
I mean, bulk water, is that what's considered?
No, I think there is a rate in there.
There is a rate in there for unpotable water. I just haven't listed it.
We've got it in our fees and charges. Mm.
That's all. I think that's all. Yeah.
Sneaky.
Those in favour?
Aye.
Gary, thank you. Next item, the QBRS, page 46. Someone like to move that? Councillor Newstead again. Councillor Benbrick, thank you very much. Thanks for the summary, Peter. The outlook for the year is not all that rosy.
For you, Mr. Chairman, and this is something that's been reported to Council in previous budget reviews, our water sales are down. It's been a very wet year. So really, when this budget was done back in May 2020, finalised in May 2020, certainly the outlook was far, far different. Basically, I suppose the question is, how can I say it's a satisfactory result compared to what the original result was. Well, the circumstances are really quite explainable, and there is previous precedent for when we've had wet years that we do have significant losses. We also had an extra 260k for the truck main K, the rider for truck main K as well. So if you combine those two together, it's pretty much very close to what our loss is. The outlook, of course, is uncertain in terms of what the future climate's going to do, but obviously if we get back to what we consider normal, I suppose, when we have a very hot summer and a lot less rainfall, I think we can quickly reverse that situation and turn it around. The difference between this and back in 10, 11, 11, 12 is the depreciations are probably around $1 million more as well. So that's one of the really big differences. So we've certainly got this, and we have touched on it before, is this depreciation number is a challenge for us. And it's over 40%, around 40% of our costs, which makes it, very significant for every dollar we're raising. We spend in operating expenditure 40% of its depreciation, so
yeah,
that is a challenge for us. Yeah.
Now, I know this is not relevant to the March QBRS because we're now in June, but the projection as at the end of March for the year end result, given what you know now with the last quarterly billing and that sort of thing, is it's going to come in round about.
It's coming. It should be. Should be pretty close,
yeah.
I think, based on that. We do have a little bit of billing to do for the last quarter for Cowra for bulk water, and we do have our monthly accounts to do. We've got June to go. So, it should be pretty close.
Yeah.
There may be an opportunity to, our employee costs may be down just fractionally a little bit, 20,000 or 30,000, so there may be a bit of a saving there. The other thing that we've had is, and it's mentioned in there, is this repairs on two of our reservoirs, one at Cargo and one at Goolagong, and that's something that actually came up. We started on the Cargo one by doing a bit of a test, I think. Noel can sort of explain how that sort of came about and how we led to doing the one at Goolagong as well. But it was fairly urgent repairs that we had to get done there, and we found that the system that was being used and the company that were providing that service were quite good. So we proceeded to do a little bit more than we expected there. That's why we got that 100,000 extra vote in the reservoir area to finish that job.
Yeah, so that's not so good. One question I'm going to ask you a bit of. Each of our constituent councils has to consolidate an equity account for results of CDW. Yes. Which is the figure which they bring into their own P&L account?
They bring in the figure after capital is the figure they bring in.
Yeah.
Because that's with all the capital receipts we've got, actually that's the actual figure that they use. So they would have a positive result there with the capital capital grants. So it's not going to be something that's going to be a drag on their result as such. It's one of those things now that is a requirement of the code. It wasn't a number of years ago.
No.
You didn't have to. You could do it by way of note, but you didn't have to disclose it on the face of your income statement.
Yeah.
And now you do.
But now it seems crazy that it is. It affects your operating performance ratio, either up or down.
Mm.
And for the size of our constituent councils, it can make a big difference.
It can.
The
other thing I just mentioned is probably on the capital side. There's one item there for Carcall Water Treatment Plant is the filter bed replacement. We're actually funding that out of money we had set aside for our depots, because I was aware of this, so I knew in our budget that I put 120,000 in for depots. So I actually decided to, when I was discussing this with the Director of Operations and Technical Services, say how we sort of fund this filter bed replacement, which is something that's I'll get Noel to sort of explain the technical reasons behind it, but it looks like now it'll probably be next August anyway. It'll be August before we get this job done anyway, so it'll have to be carried over. But that was just a substitution of funding there, so it worked out quite well.
I had a question which I discussed with Gav yesterday. Which is raised now for council's benefit. In the contract listing, which is right at the end of the report, page 56, Camero Resources, where there was a contract during the last, or during the March quarter, of $213,400. That's on top of another contract with Camero of $150,000 a year or so ago. I was just a bit uneasy, and Gavin's explained it to me, but I was a bit uneasy that given that we've got a tendering limit of $250,000 for contracts requiring tender, whether if you take a sort of cumulative approach, we've effectively exceeded the $250,000 with that particular contract. I just wanted to make sure that everything's above board in terms of processes we need to follow in relation to that contract.
Yeah, that's really, Mr. Chairman, as we discussed yesterday, Camero Resources have been contracted on a separate project basis. So we've had, initially we engaged Camero Resources to help with telemetry support with their expertise, and then we engaged them. The next project was on project support, so doing preliminary work on the getting the reservoir work ready, the Woodstock pump station, drawing up design and workings also, or drawings on the Trunk Lane H project with Yarra. And then once we got the funding for the Yarra project, Camero Resources were engaged for project management for the reservoir project. So they're three separate projects. As you touched on earlier, that 150K was first with made up of that telemetry support. Noel, did you want to add anything further to
that? Yeah, so there were service agreements that we entered in with Camero Resources, and at the time, I think Lake Rollins did access to Lake Rollins did water storage, where we used the expertise that was available for us with Camero Resources, working with mining and dewatering and things like that. So they designed our floating pontoon and sizing up for the different pumps and things like that. So also we use them for the civil works that they had experience in for when we're looking at doing our bulk earthworks for our 12 meg reservoir. So once those projects had finished and we had applied for our funding, and then when we gained funding, we entered in with another service support for actually helping us deliver in a contract project management role. So we have distinguished the different roles that the company has been able to provide, and they are definitely isolated to the particular jobs that they'll require.
It's just, and it is just the one person, isn't it?
Correct. There's actually a couple of them that we've been using them for doing survey works and providing bulk quantities and drawings and those sorts of things.
Now you can see the sensitivity of 360,000 under this contract, or under the series of contracts. So in fact, there's more than there's separate contracts for each project. I mean,
we call them service agreements as well.
So for this 213,000, is there a contract that says
no? It's not.
How do we arrive at the 213?
The 213 is the maximum spend as per the purchase orders that were raised in respect of those particular projects. So there is actually purchase orders that have been issued to Camero for those two separate amounts.
But there is the contract, is a service agreement with a minimum quantity of hours to ensure that we can get the support from that person instead of those people going outside of us and not having that availability. So there was a minimum quantity of hours that were provided to encourage them to stay within us and give us that support, and then it's been building on wet weather and things like that. But yes, there are purchase orders that are provided for each time those undertakings have been completed or continued.
Okay. Any more questions in relation to that item?
I've got a question, Mr. Chairman. It's Paul and I were talking on the way over about we're looking at here to diversify the revenue base and all that sort of thing. Is it maybe in the future, for the next dry period, that the boars at the Goolagong could cut into 100% on an earlier level to save Lake Rollins? So maybe that would keep, you know, the levels from going up as quickly as they had previously, so we can sell more water and keep the flow of water going. So I mean, obviously that's where our revenue comes from. And we talked about, obviously, the cost. Darwin's been talking about the cost of pumping and all that sort of thing. So maybe we could look into to see,
yeah, thanks,
you know, how much it's going to cost us to run those pumps at an earlier time to try and save Lake Rollins a bit more, so we don't have to slow the water flow down as much when it does get dry. And yeah, obviously, when if Lake Rollins goes ahead, well, then you can still do the same thing and obviously sell more water to Orange or whoever else. But just to cut them in a little bit earlier rather than getting to the last point and you know, bang, okay, good, I'm going to come on 100%. Yeah. We just do it a bit earlier, and level two or three, or
for you, Mr. Chairman, and it's more of a technical matter, but I don't know. But during the peak period in summer, when you've got the peak load, and when the bulls come into play, then
at 100%, or they still, we've still got that. Yeah. And not talking normally, but if we go down the level, so if we get to level three, instead of coming to level five at 100%, we're coming to level three at 100%. We also talk about obviously the other fluoride.
Is there how much would it cost to put the fluoride treatment? Coming out of the bores, is that an option? I mean, we're talking about it, we've always just sort of throwing it around in the car. I thought it'd be good to discuss that so that we've got more water to sell. And yeah, that's right, the chair. It is, we have a requirement
To meet the demand of when through introduction of Goolagong bores, because we our trunk main sea cannot deliver the amount of water necessary from Lake Rollins. Yep. So we will supplement water in. We will blend the water from Lake Rollins, which is the fluoridated water, with the bore water down at Goolagong, so the township still receives a certain amount of fluoride, but it's not up to the maximum, which is the normal that's coming through. There are times when that demand is also increased. If we don't put the bores in and there's issues with the bores, we have booster pumping stations along Trunk Main Sea, but the cost of putting those in far outweigh the cost of putting in the Goolagong bore. So we will always put the Goolagong bore in when they're available to put them through.
Yeah, I'll just say we're running at 100% because we weren't running at 100% for last year. And obviously the fluoride was a problem. So is there an opportunity to put a fluoride sort of in play sort of system in further down the track? Or just sort of tossing around so that we can save more water, cutting the levels at a later date?
But the protection around fluoridisation is very, very stringent. So for us to put a plant down there and not operate or only operate every now and then, is it would be better for us to do what we're doing, and if we need to split the system and run without fluoride as a short term, whether it's a 6 month or term, that is supported by Department of Health. They will support us not having fluoride in there, but for the cost and the implementation of trying to get a fluoride plant in down there. It's just, you need it in a protected environment, such as a water treatment.
Okay, so is there a problem with cutting in earlier with 100% water to going through to save?
There is no issues on that, but I will remind the council that we are also commissioning Trunk Main H, the reversal of Trunk Main H, where we'll be pulling water out of Woodstock. We need to commission those, and that's going to be coming into our summer period. And we will evaluate that as well as to feed water back up to Manildra, as well as going through to the Goolagong. So depending on the amount of water that we have available from Cowra through Woodstock, we'll determine that will also be in the mix, not just Goolagong. So it'll all come up with the cost of pumping and the cost of delivery of that water coming through.
Yeah.
So we've really got a couple of good mixes in there
mm-hmm.
to do that operations with. But we need to finish that commissioning of Trunk Station first. And once that's in the play, but that is being fed by a diesel generator as well. It's not coming from our power grid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be able to have a look at all those. So we are definitely working towards getting the best bang for the buck and the most efficient way of doing things, but as well as keeping water up into Lake Trolley. Right. That's correct.
Very good.
Thanks,
Greg.
Well,
We're going to pause the recording now. We have a break for lunch. We'll return to the meeting for item 13. Carried. We'll pause. We'll return after lunch for item 14. Thank you. Start again?
Yes.
Okay, go. All right, we'll now move to item 14, page 57 of the business paper, the minutes of the, not the last, but the penultimate audit committee. Someone like to move that?
I'll move that.
Yeah, Councillor Newstead, seconded Councillor Walker. Thank you. Any questions of Gavin or me in relation to that meeting?
No.
No? In that case, I'll put that one. Those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Let me move to item 15. Placing on exhibition of the water charges debt recovery policy. Someone like to move that one? Councillor Durkin, seconded Councillor Best. Thank you. So this is a procedural matter. The policy has been on exhibition and we've received no submissions. No submissions. Those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Move to item 16. Page 69, water security report. Someone like to move that we note that information? Councillor Newstead, Councillor Best. Thank you.
Look at all that precious water gone over the wall.
Yes, so any questions of Noel on his report? Noel, the Woodstock pump station, which Noel and I had the opportunity of inspecting. Noel's seen it many times coming back from Grenfell at the last council meeting. It's looking fantastic there. Are we any further progress towards since I saw it a month ago?
Yes, it's a lot of earthworks being undertaken.
Yep.
And we've got roads connecting into the pump station now as well.
Yep.
We have had a request from Cowrishire Council to replace the whole fencing because everything else looks so good. If we can replace the fencing, that would be nice too.
Yeah.
For that tongue in cheek. But it's progressing well. We're fitting out. We've had the electrician in to start pulling some cables through and doing the internals, as well as assembling some pipes inside the pump station. Pretty sure we had all the generators there too, didn't we, David?
Yeah, yes, they were all, yeah.
And there's a big 4,000 litre storage. Yeah, so it looks a lot better than what it was when we
Okay, that's good. Month,
but it is progressing well.
That's good. And just the next one, item two, the Parks Forbes Goolagong project. That seems to be moving on pretty quickly.
So just as a quick update, there's a drive to have a report, a strategic business case presented for this pipeline project in September of this year. So they've been moving fairly well in all of the pipeline that was originally in the concept. And then CTW has asked for that spur line to come off the original pipeline and go up to be able to feed into our Yugao reservoir. So that's at 6.4 kilometre. we currently have 22 kilometres of 150 mill pipeline running from Goolagong up to Yagara. So this 6.4 kilometre and 150 is about the right size. We don't see too much growth out of Yagara, but we will certainly increase. We're going from a 375 for all but 6.4 kilometres of it. So we're comfortable to adopt a 150 mil PVC pipe, and that'll enable us then to tap off and utilise that section of pipeline as a business as usual. As we've always stated, you know, we're going to pay for a pipeline and have the ability to use it. Mm. It's best to use it all of the time and make sure it's all in operation and use it as business as usual. Now, the only thing we'll need to do is, it was highlighted to me that the review of environmental factors hadn't been done for the original pipeline project or had been undertaken. And did we wish to undertake that pipeline, that 6.4 kilometres as a CTW REF, or did they? Did we want to contribute to having their input in their REF? So I'll just ask for costings to be provided to us before we put that forward. It's really taking off well. So it's had good support. I know that there was issues with...
well, what's the next decision point on in this one for council?
For CDW?
For CDW's council, yeah.
We'll look at the costings, we'll look at the REF. It's a three-stage approach, so I will have a Parks to come forward and do that presentation again, similar to what we had when we talked about the concept of it. We'll invite the guys from Parks to do a presentation on that one as well. So it was only, this stage three is an interlinking into our Goolagong side, and it is a two-way pipeline project, so that's why we're still interested in flowing that along. But the stage one and the stage two part of the project, I think it's stage one of the project has been funded in that $4 million to get that up and operating. But I think the stage two and the stage three part components of that is now what we're looking at, putting costings together to try and get that moving.
So would the, if we can get funding for it, does that funding come through Parks? A bit like the Cowra emergency pipeline was funded through Orange.
So the my belief is the strategic business case that they're putting forward in September is for the pipeline from Goolagong all the way through to Parks and the Forbes Spur as well.
Yeah.
That will be the concept that will be put forward, and the costings of that pipeline will be involved, will be included as long, with the REF. All CTW's component at the moment is for this spur line. Included in on that.
Yeah. Okay. And
with last week in Parks, there's a big announcement about some water money for Parks, and Deputy Prime Minister and Ken Keith and all that. Was that involved in this or not?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Councillor.
No, it was only in the last few days.
Oh, right. Yes, I haven't been. I had missed a call from one of the parties involved with it. They may have been part of that, but I don't know, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. Councillor Walker, I think that was part of a larger project, a $15 million project, I think, and they got the first stage being $5 million. I think it's related to the precinct that they've got.
A little special activation precinct.
Yeah. I think it relates to that.
Yeah.
We can check on that.
And the report here now says CW in conjunction with Parks.
Yes.
I know Forbes was a bit reluctant to get involved in all this at the start of it. Are Forbes actively involved now?
Forbes have been on every meeting that I have attended for this pipeline project, and they have been actively engaged in on that. But the project, the reason I'm saying in conjunction with Parks Shire Council is they're the proponent of the...
Yeah.
Of the actual pipeline project, so I haven't been discussing anything differently with boards or away from that meeting. So it's just working with parts at the moment.
Just a question, when did you think you were talking about having a presentation to council? What's the time frame you think there, no?
Oh, look, we would try to get it for the next council meeting because, as I said, they should have enough development, so we should have the cost of the pipeline project. So I've been part of that discussion of what that 6.4-kilometre cost will be. That was fairly easy for us to do, seeing we just finished Trunkmain K. And it's more about just tidying up those last little bits, such as the ref and making sure that's all inclusive in there. And then the costings of each stage will be able to be provided and be presented then. So,
yeah, one of my thoughts is, seeing as there's going to be council elections like in September, we've got a lot of pipelines and projects and things all coming at us in different directions. I'd like to probably even move a motion that we actually have some sort of workshop on this probably after that election, because you're going to have to bring, if there's new councils in here, you're going to have to bring them up from scratch with all these. There's a fair few different, we just had that workshop today, and with there's been lots of information out there which they're going to have to bring them up to scratch on. So I don't know whether we should combine them in one sort of day, or whether we can actually have one day there and have a complete rundown of all the projects and where CTD stands with all those and all them.
Generally, we usually have I do a presentation, but we can build on that presentation with the projects that we've got. For any potential new council, or even if it's not a new council, we can do that straight after the election.
There's going to be at least one new council.
Well, look, if we're going to have a presentation on this particular one, maybe we can combine them with the one and have it after the election, because then you're going to have to do the whole thing again.
Yeah,
for another councillor or councillors or things like that. So
I was only talking. It was only our component of that pipeline, so we've really just been tacked onto it. Either the sourcing, or we can either sink it or source it. It can be a bi-directional pipeline. So we've just added on, as I said, to try and create. So it's more of an operational process of how we are engaging in for how much water can be shifted between here, there, and what's available and things like that. Then we can see what the true value is of the pipeline for CTW.
One stage early in the piece, there was going to be a meeting of Parks, Forbes, CTW, I think a council briefing all together over in Parks or somewhere. That was set up 6 months ago and was cancelled in the end because it clashed with a JO meeting or something. And it's never been resurrected again.
Maybe it was with Forbes drawing it initially, but and it hasn't been, but we can look into that.
I was just wondering, because that was organised. We got a meeting maker for it and all that sort of thing, and then it was cancelled because of a clash and didn't hear any more about it.
Yeah, I think it may have been with Forbes withdrawing all of a sudden that meeting didn't go ahead.
Because on this particular project, it's a potentially big project, a very strategic sort of connection for CTW, and at this stage, the councillors, we passed a resolution after we got that presentation saying that we supported participation in the project. That's all we've had so far.
And Noel's, and through you, Mr. Chairman, Noel's been participating in those operational meetings that have been occurring. Apart from the operational meetings, there hasn't been anything else that we can organise.
Just one thing to be aware of for the council is that this is a raw water line. Right, so the new pipeline is 375. It is linking up four sites, so it will be raw water that will be coming in.
Yeah,
as part of our operational for us to use as business as usual, we will be converting that pipeline from a raw water pipeline to a potable water pipeline. So there's a few little flushing requirements to be undertaken to ensure that we do maintain that drinking water quality going through to Yagara. But again, this is an emergency pipeline to assist for emergencies. So we can supply water from Goolagong as a potable water water supply that can then flow off up to parks and as potable water. But we will bring back, if we've got to bring the water back into, let's say, our bores of Goolagong Fail, we can bring that raw water supply back in and treat it as we would our normal Goolagong bores, and then pump back onto our existing pipeline that feeds through to Gihara. So we're not decommissioning any pipelines.
Mm.
We will just be utilising that new pipeline as business as usual and try and gravity feed that through. So there's a little bit of playing around, but I just wanted to make sure that we all understood that. It's not for us. We will supply potable water if we need to, or we can just supply non-potable water. We pull it straight out of Goolagong bore, and then we can pump that raw water back to them. But I would rather keep it as potable water. So.
Anyway, as Councillor West says, I think a briefing session like the one we just had in relation to this project, where it's up to, where it might go, what we see, how we're going to get out of it, how we're going to use it, you know, the emergency connection, and are we going to have one rule with Orange, one rule with Cowra, and another rule with Parks? I mean, you've heard me on that before, so... okay, we'll leave it at that for the moment. Any other questions of Noel? No? Those in favour?
Aye.
Married. Item 17, maintenance of systems. I'd like to move that. Councillor Benbrick, seconded. Yes, Councillor Newstead. Any questions of Noel?
Is this they're on the repair maintenance of the reservoir, so I'm just going to wonder about that at all. Just can you run through what you did there? Certainly.
As we know, we've got an ageing infrastructure, so we know that we've been around for a long time. The problem when we're working with concrete and steel or reinforced concrete, it does deteriorate, and it can very quickly deteriorate once we start exposing steel in concrete, so the old concrete cancer. We've gone through a couple of different methods of trying to seal our leaking reservoirs. And of course, if we're leaking through our reservoirs, we're introducing water into the steel, and then that's going to enhance the concrete cancer. So we engaged through a company that had undertaken work in other county councils, and their technology is about the crystalline structure of the material they're using is actually to follow a wet path. So if there's a crack and there's leaking, you'll apply a coat on the outside, and that will then follow that wet path and keep growing in until there's no more crystal structure from the coating. It's all being drawn into where the cracks are. Now, they're making claims, and I think we had a good discussion about that on their way home last time.
Yeah.
They're making good claims, which we would like to test. And so I've picked on our worst reservoir to trial in a limited function. So cargo reservoir is right. There is a new house being built right alongside, or has been built right alongside. Had kids out there, little young kids, you know, on their push bikes going around, and here we are with a leaking reservoir. So we were concerned about the implications of health and things like that. So we attacked that one first as a limited in just applying a repair to the leakage area. It's a smaller reservoir, so the cost in doing a full reservoir could be controlled. And I think Councillor Walker, you came up and had a look at
No, I didn't.
You didn't come to that one?
No.
Okay, up at Cargo. And we had a look at that, and it proved itself successful. So it took away all the leaks. So the next smaller one was Goolagong Reservoir. We've been having trouble with that leaking and trying to keep that sealing. So we've gone through that whole process, and then we've applied the outside coating so as we can really protect through on Goolagong. So there were three stages of that one. We fixed one leak and then you found another leak. You just said we're leaking so badly. Problem we have now is we've got our Carcore town reservoir, which is an elevated reservoir. You can see that the concrete is falling out from the underneath and it is exposing the spillway. So we have to apply something to there to try and protect that asset. Again, the claims that this company is saying, I'm still reserved in my beliefs that this is going to occur, but at the moment it's the best of what we've got, and certainly the results that we've had out of it have been very good. So
it's added to the exterior? So you don't touch the inside at all, you put on the outside so and they draw
it? Yes, so they do a repair. So if there's a bit of concrete, they'll actually scrabble it all out. They'll go in, scrabble out all the failed concrete, and expose the steel reinforcement, and then they'll put a repair onto that using their materials, which is all inbuilt with this crystalline structure.
Is that internal or external?
External.
So we didn't drain the reservoir?
Depends on how bad that is. We will lower the reservoir down. However, at Goolagong, we actually had a sealing problem around the base.
Yeah.
So we tried to do the repair around the outside. That failed, so they did do a repair then around on the inside. So we did have to drain that out. So we're looking at Kananda Reservoir. It's a similar type of construction and age as it is on our Carcore Town Reservoir. So we've got major leaks on those. Now, I have taken the company around, their representative, and they believe that they can seal it from the outside again. Again, I'm reserved in saying that this is going to be the best, but it is the best at the moment that I'm comfortable in now to trial, because now we're getting into the bigger area of bigger size reservoirs, and we're getting into the more difficult sites where we need elevated work platforms and a lot of extra costs will go into repairing these reservoirs than what we had with these smaller reservoirs that we've trialled through.
Yeah, so my concern is that we're fixing the external leak and it looks great, but actually internally it still continues to seep inside the concrete, which busts your formation work enough. We're not going to know for 20 years, we're not going to know for 15 years whether or not we've actually been successful in doing that's all. So
the claim is that this crystalline structure from the outside coating will grow into 300 mil. Now, the thickness of our walls are 300 mil.
Mm-hmm.
So it will then, that crystalline structure will follow the path of the water or the moisture path.
Mm-hmm.
It will then seal it as it's going through. So it will actually, if we're looking at a 300 mil and we've got steel inside, it will actually grow through and seal around that concrete, around that steel, which is what I believe is a really good result for us. So it's actually sealing the concrete, because concrete is porous, as we know.
Is there any companies that do polyliners for the actual reservoirs? I mean, is there a cost benefit of actually lining the reservoir?
Problem with liners is we have chlorine in our water.
So chlorine effects. So we'd have to get a
chlorine
resistance to.
Yes, it'll deteriorate in the liner. But we still have concrete falling off bottoms of reservoirs and out, so we do have to get in and spend some money.
That's more of a structural thing, isn't it?
It will be, but it would be not, to me, it would be better to have a one shop to do all the work, that way you're not worried about whose fault is this and if it's leaking for that. Yeah, so a one stop shop is always better. But what I've said in here in my report is we have been trying to assess the different types. We've had success on here. The claims that they're making is a 20-year life extension of what would have normally been. So, but if it's already deteriorated and you only got a 5-year life left, and you can see that things are failing, of course, once you repair it, it's going to give you 20 years anyway. But it's more of this crystalline structure. So Blaney Shire Council are using this same company. Orange City Council is using this company. So I would love it to be correct in all of their claims, but being suspicious, it seems too good to be true. And as I spoke to the chairman, we were talking about this additive, and we were talking about our 12 meg reservoir, and if we can add that product while we're building the 12 meg reservoir, and it stops the assists in the porosity of the concrete, all of a sudden our life expectancy of our new 12 meg reservoir goes from 100 years to 200 years. Yeah, you know, it's those sorts of ranges, but we're not going to be around here. But
yeah,
for a cost of $10,000.
Okay, so well, I just before you start adding that to the concrete, I'd like a concrete engineer to
of course. So
to sign off on that.
Of course, and that's the engagement fee. So
yeah.
we all know things are too good to be true sometimes.
Well, no, it's just that way.
But that's why I've attempted to only do it as a piecemeal.
Mm.
Look at the smaller, worst ones. Only pay for the minimal amount to see how and assess the product. Then we go to the worst one, which was Billagong. It's only a small tank, but it's and leakage on that one doesn't really affect us. But it was a really good one to see how that product was going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does it
affect your depreciation, like doing that?
So yes, we'll get it certainly does. Adds its life expectancy onto it. Correct.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, it depends on what remaining lives of those particular assets. I have discussed this with the asset officer, and while there's some diversity of views, whether you could say that's a renewal or you expense it as maintenance, the advice he gave me was you could expense it as maintenance because there's already a residual life on those actual reservoirs, which I don't know exactly the residual life on each in this specific one. It depends on whether that exceeds the 20 years or is... That's greater than the 20 years. But at the moment, we've actually expensed it based on that treatment. So we haven't actually treated as a renewal, as an extension of the life. Bearing in mind, of course, that we do have a major revaluation taking place in 2022. So certainly, if that has led to a difference in the life, then we would certainly adjust that.
Yeah, it's certainly. Extending the useful life of an asset, which is this is what this is doing, it's going to improve our depreciation.
It would, Mr. Chairman, if depending on what residual life we had on those remaining anyway, we may have had 25 years left, and this extends the life another 20 years. Is it 45 years, or is it 20 years from the date of the treatment? So this becomes one of those issues where you've got to make a judgment call.
If we had a choice, are we not better off extending the useful life, reducing our depreciation cost, rather than expensing it up front?
If you can,
I know, at the end of the day, we've got to do what's the correct thing, I know.
What we're going to do is, of course, with the guidelines that we deal with, I did seek advice on it, as I said, from our asset officer. And his advice was that it was more in the character of maintenance, based on his understanding of the treatment at the time. So at the moment, it's been expensed. We can certainly go back and look at that. And I've got no problem with what you're suggesting, just as long as it's in accordance with the way that asset standards are applied.
But some of these are
no black and white answer. No. Sometimes you have to make a judgment call.
Exactly. And just based on Noel's report, it seems the reason we're doing it is to extend the life.
At the time, the reason we were doing it, as I understood it, was to eliminate the leaks.
And
the loss of water associated with those leaks. That was the reason it was being done.
Yeah.
If the structure hadn't been leaking, then the necessity of doing that treatment would have not been required.
Right. So if I can just add on to that, if it does prove and we are comfortable, we could then undertake a maintenance program of applying that coating to the outside, and that would be for a life extension because there is no repairs needed.
Correct.
It would be a washdown, and apply that coating, then that coating would keep feeding through and following through.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. That's the reason we're looking at basically 30th of June 2022. And obviously, if there's an extension, then we can certainly bring that to account at that time.
Yeah, okay.
Well, obviously, you guys have looked at what effect it has on the water. I mean, there's no issues with that.
Mm-hmm. just on the budget implications, additional 100,000. And there's a comment that we've doubled costs up there. So does that mean we've got 100,000 in the budget at the moment and we're going to add another 100,000?
Well, basically, that's the additional cost over and above the vote we had within our reservoir maintenance area for the year. So we were able to fund part of it, but we needed another 100,000 to fund those two reservoirs, both Cargill and Goodlevin. Yes. And if you look at the budget review, that 100,000 is in the budget review.
Yeah. Yeah. Any more questions? Thanks for that. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Item 18. Someone like to move that?
I'll move.
Councillor Durkin, Councillor Newstead. Thank you very much. Any questions of Noel on his report? If not, I'll put that. Those in favour, carried. Thank you. And then we get to questions on notice.
Yeah,
no questions on notice. Now we need. Are we doing this in 21 or do we get it in close?
Yes.
We are?
Yep.
Yeah.
Recommendation to move to.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay. Item 20. Someone like to move that we move into closed session? Councillor Durkin, Councillor Newstead. Thank you. Those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Carried. We're now in closed session. We're off air. So we'll reconvene the. Oops. Let's see what resolution we've got. We'll reconvene the ordinary meeting and report on the item one in closed session, the request for compensation. The council resolved that the council note the report and approve the request for compensation.
Just the recommendations.
Yes, the recommendation, page 21. Someone like to move the recommendation of the committee of whole be adopted. Councillor Walker, Councillor Durkin, those in favour. Carried.
Uh-huh.
That concludes the business of the meeting. Thank you for your attendance and I look forward to seeing you at the next meeting.
Thank you.